Welcome to the Healing Journeys Today podcast. Today we've got an amazing message of hope and healing just for you. God's word never returns to him void, so let this message sink deep into your heart so that you can walk out your complete healing journey today.
Hey guys, it's me. I am so glad that you are meeting me here today. I've got a really good teaching that I really want to share with you that has just been bombarding my mind and my heart in the last couple of days, because I know that it's something that, you know, I'm just excited about. And I know that it's going to really speak to your heart as well. You know, it's interesting because I was just listening to someone who was talking about how you hear and then you hear. But sometimes our listening goes in one ear and then it goes whoop, right out the other. And matter of fact, when I was a kid, my dad used to say that to me all the time. He goes, every time you listen, it goes in one ear and out the other. So I'm telling you today that we're not going to do that. Actually, today you're listening is going to go in one ear and it's going to go down deep into your heart and deposit into your heart. We're going to go back to what the title is today. It's, do I really have to prove myself? Ask yourself that question. Do I really need to prove myself over and over and over? Now, to man, probably yes, because that's how man is. But we don't, you know, we don't do that. We don't go there, right? We don't go to what man thinks, right? Because when we do, it's a problem, because then we start limiting ourselves. We start feeling like losers. We start feeling like you're less than. You start feeling like I'm never going to live up to that. Remember, the Bible says the fear of man brings a snare. We can't do that. That's not reverence. That's not respect for man. That is literal fear of man brings a snare. And a snare is a trap. So we've got to be careful about that, because that is a trap for us to literally get our foot caught in, you know, sometimes our foot, our hand, and our whole body caught in that trap, you know. And isn't it just awful? I mean, if you guys think about it, I'm not fond of rats and rodents and stuff. I know some people are. God bless you. That's not my thing. But there are people that do that don't care for them, and we set traps. And some of these traps are disgusting, what they do, even to rodents, where you're like, ugh, I don't like the rats, but man, did you have to put that kind of trap out? You know, where they're just glued, like a foot is glued, and they're trying to get out, but they can't. Oh, it's just awful. But the reason I'm bringing that up is, you know, that is the same kind of traps that the enemy sets for us. When we fear what man thinks about us, when we fear about what man thinks about healing, what man thinks about your life, or maybe it, you know, your life wasn't, you know, perfect, and, you know, with picket fences and everything was just rainbows and bunnies and, as I say, Skittles. And then people want to judge you. And I will tell you this, and this is not good, but I am going to put this out here. So you're ready for it? Christians judge. Ugh, I hate it. I really do. You know, I didn't understand about that until not until I got saved, because after I got saved, I really took me a while to get my mind renewed and to not be that way judgmental, because I was very judgmental as a natural person, because I really didn't know any better. That's what you do, right? You judge people, which is awful and horrible. But so what I'm saying is that we should grow from that, because we should understand the Father's heart. We've got the Father's heart on the inside of us, right? We have the love of Christ, and not one person out there watching, if you think for one second that you don't have the Father's love always constantly on you, I don't care if you know Jesus or not, because you could be listening to this and not know who Jesus even is. You know, I just heard a testimony of someone that was 27 years old that no one told them about Jesus. And then another person that a lot of us do know is Todd White, that no one told him about Jesus either. I think it was 27 or maybe even 30 years where no one told him about Jesus. So there, you know, there are people out there that have never heard of Jesus. And if this is your first time listening and your first time even hearing about Jesus, When you say yes to him, when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, he puts his heart on the inside of you, right? That's the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. But even before you do that, just know that John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would call upon him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so that's, you know, that just shows you God's not going, not in the club yet. Well, you need to get in. You need to like prove yourself to get in. No. You know, I've heard more people say like, you know, like when someone's going to have a cleaner come and clean their house, they clean the house before the house cleaner comes. We know that, right? We've often heard that story. But God doesn't say, hey, clean up your mess and then come to me. No, he says, come to me right now. I need you right now. And I need you to know that because that's really important. You see, there's lots of things that try to disqualify ourselves from accepting Christ as our Savior, because we've heard so much just junk and trash out there from people, from I would say unsaved Christians. And I mean unsaved because you don't know the Father. When you would be judgmental like that and you would look down upon people that maybe aren't living up to your standard or to your status, which is horrible. You know, in my experience, that was kind of me because I was, you know, I partied, I smoked, I drank, you know, I never did drugs, but I did everything else. I was very promiscuous and all that stuff. And the only Christians that I knew were ones that were telling me how much I was, you know, how bad I was and how I was going to hell, you know? And so that plays a big part, especially when somebody now has maybe, you know, gotten sick, whether they've, you know, gotten cancer or whatever, anything, heart disease, weird, you know, so many strange diseases that are out there right now. You can't even like pronounce the name of, you know, just all kinds of conditions and all that stuff. That a lot of that can come from being rejected, you know, by people. And that, because being rejected by people brings on in, you know, a lot of unforgiveness, you know, and that is the truth. The unforgiveness and the bitterness literally makes you have so much bitterness. I really believe there's a bitter root. You know, I know there's like a, you know, something called a bitter root, but I believe that there's a bitter tree that grows on the inside of somebody and it literally entangles in all of the organs and it starts to squeeze the life out of you. Because what happens with roots as they grow and they get stronger and they keep circling the organs, you know, or in the ground, they get stronger and stronger. And that's what I believe happens, is that that bitter tree, that bitter root comes in and tries to squeeze the life out of you. So how are you going to do life, right? You're trying to prove yourself constantly of how, hopefully, that you fit in or that you are, you know, up to a perfect standard, the standard where everybody else thinks you should be. And you're trying to be something, you know, that somebody else or some other group of people are asking you to be. And so, you know, I do want to caution you. That is a problem. And, you know, especially when people, you know, have been diagnosed with mental illness and people, I know, you know, Nicole Marbach always says all the time that, you know, people have compassion for people that have, you know, cancer and horrible autoimmune diseases and all kinds of conditions. And like I said, names that I can't even begin to name. But when somebody, and you have compassion for that, you see it on the outside, you know, you see it on the inside, you see it trying to kill somebody, but we don't necessarily see mental illness, right? There are many people walking this earth with mental illness that you don't even know have any mental illness, right? So, and those are the ones when some of the stuff does come out and they can't, you know, someone says, you know, well, people with mental illness are needy and they need to be, you know, reaffirmed all the time that they're good or whatever. And, you know, it's like people start getting like, God, I don't even want to like talk to that person anymore. It's like, it's draining to me. Well, I look at it this way. Jesus never, ever, I never read in my Bible where Jesus said, you guys are draining me. Like, I can't take this anymore. Now, do you guys understand what I'm saying? You know, that's, and so those bitter roots come and they start, you know, again, coming in and squeezing the life out of you. It turns into sickness, and it can also turn into mental illness as well. You know, men and women that were physically, mentally abused. You know, I was physically, mentally abused, you know? And so we, you know, people, sometimes they can't take it, or they, you know, for whatever reason, you know, anxiety comes in, you know, you got, and through all the horribleness of the abuse, we start coming up with a different personality to deal with it. And now we have multiple personality disorders, and we've got anger issues, and we've got all these things that are going on the inside of us. And we're being judged. And we're being judged for it. That's why there's only one that you should even care about. You know, I just learned of an organization called I Am Second. And I just saw some videos. They put people in a white chair and they tell their experience of how they came to Christ. And, you know, I love the name. It's I Am Second, because why? He's got to be first. You can't put the people that damaged you, hurt you, and all of that in that first position, because remembering it and keeping it in the forefront of your mind constantly, meditating on it and thinking about it, you're making them first. You really are. Just please listen to me when I say that. You're making them first when you allow them to take up space in your brain. And I'm not saying it didn't hurt. I'm not saying that it didn't affect you, because it's awful and it's horrible. But let me ask you a question. And if you guys, you know, get insulted by this, we've got 6 other teachers. I would hate to, you know, I don't want you to be upset with me, but it is time to stop it. It is time to move on. And I know that it's hard to do. We've all had to move on. And we're all coming from different things, you know, different backgrounds. And let me tell you something. You think yours is bad, then you hear somebody else's and you're like, how did you overcome that? Then you hear someone else's, you're like, well, that's nothing. How'd you overcome this? You know, and that is true. It's a true statement. We have overcome a lot of things. And there's a lot of things in our past, in the history, in the DNA of our soul, that it is time to say, you're not taking first place in my life anymore. I'm not waking up to you and you telling me what I'm going to do. You are going to take no position in my life whatsoever. Do you hear what I'm saying? You must say this to whatever is bothering you, whether it's mental or physical, but you're not taking first place in my life anymore. I'm not accommodating you anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying, you guys? You've got to, listen, I'm telling you, this is really big. And you know what? I wish I could talk to every one of you individually, you sitting in front of me. But I am here to tell you, it is time for it to stop taking first place. And don't even give it second place. Give it no place. He says, give no place to the devil. You know, when we magnify the Lord, he runs from us, because why? He can't be in the same room. He can't be in the same place. You can't talk to the Lord and the devil at the same time. It's either one or the other. But let me tell you something. Every day that you complain, every day that you're upset, every day that you feel like you can't go on, you are actually having a conversation with the devil, because he's the one feeding you the junk that's coming out of your mouth that's saying, I don't want to do this anymore. You know, maybe I do want to commit suicide. Maybe I do want to end it. Maybe no one cares about me anymore. That is not God speaking to you. or maybe I should get rid of this. Maybe I should, you know, listen, here's a disclaimer. If you're in an abusive marriage, that is not you that I'm going to talk about right now. If you're in an abusive situation at your job, and I mean like severely abusing, I'll tell you what abusing is, because I had that happen to me once. That's a different story. So I put that disclaimer up there. But there are things that try to tell us to leave jobs, to leave marriages, and we're allowing the circumstances to tell us that, when maybe things could have been worked out, or you could have hung in there and let the Lord tell you what to do. But the enemy is coming at us 24/7 telling us these things. The way we know between the voices is, we know, do you know the Lord's voice? Do you know the voice of God? Because if you're more familiar with the voice of the devil, which I was, that's why I'm able to speak on this. When I know the voice of the enemy and I'm identifying, wait, you're not God. God doesn't say that. You're the devil. And I refuse to magnify what you just said. I refuse to let those words come out of my mouth. I refuse to let that take up any residency in my heart. I refuse. And that's even when you've gotten the worst doctor's report. Because see, the truth is still the truth, whether you get a bad doctor's report or not. The truth is still the truth. And you know, I know that some people say, well, it's easy for you to say, Julianne, because you didn't get the bad doctor's report. Well, I got many bad doctor's reports. You know, I did not get the doctor's report of saying that you were going to die. They said you would die with it, right? And your life would just be kind of crappy. You know, that I got that diagnosis, but I didn't get the other. So no, I don't have that report. But does it matter whether you get that report or the report of what I was receiving, or no report because you just feel so bad, maybe you didn't go to the doctor, whatever. The word of God still is the same. The word didn't change from condition to condition, from person to person. The word doesn't change. The word is true. It's quick, it's sharp, it's powerful. It's quick and it's powerful and it's sharp. Do you understand? I think we talked about this last time, and I'm going to keep talking about it because we have to understand the word of God is quick, sharp, and powerful. The other stuff is death to you, is depressing, is putting you back under oppression of the devil. I am telling you this, and I listen, I'm not saying that you're going to have, you know, the best day every day. It's up to you, because what qualifies a best day versus the bad day? The best, if you think about it, us having Christ in us is always a good day. Now, you may not want to hear that, but us having the power of the living God, and what is in that power is the love of God that has set us apart, that has sanctified us. No matter what you feel about yourself, no matter what you've done, no matter what of anything, that's what you have on the inside of you. So really, we have to get a hold of that flesh and say, you're not going to dominate in my life. I refuse to let you dominate. I mean, I'm just, it happens, right? I mean, it does. It happens. It happens to the best of us. It happens to the least of us. It happens to all of us. But we have a choice to make. We have a choice to make. And you may not make that choice right off, because sometimes you just get caught in like, wait a minute. What did I just think? Wait, what just came out of my mouth? You know, you don't need to be the word police, because that can just be crazy after a while, you know? With just like, oh my God, I can't say this. Oh my gosh, I can't say that. I can't say this. I can't say that. No, I said this. I got to take it back. I got to rebuke myself. That is too much, right? Just rest. Take a moment when you want to speak and you want to say something. Ask yourself, where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? You know, listen, some of us girls, we just, I don't know, me, I just like, sometimes I just have to cry. But it doesn't mean that I have to speak the negative thoughts and the negative words that the enemy is just waiting for me to talk about. Believe it or not, he is waiting for us to speak on those things. He's waiting for us to say it. He's like, just say it. Just say it, Julianne. Just say it, Barbara. Just say it, April. Right? I love what April just said. The word is alive. Yes, it is alive. It's alive and it's quick and it's sharp and it's powerful. And again, to know that there's an enemy out there that's going, come on, Julianne, say it. You know, speak against what you know to be true. Right? That's what he's waiting for. And that's what condemns our hearts, right? Is that heart, the heart inside of us, the flesh, the emotion that comes in that wants to just condemn it all because I'm having a pity party. Well, you know what? There was the one that we follow the most in this is the one that could have had a big pity party and he didn't. So how do we get there? How do we get to that place where we're not having pity parties? Well, one way is to not feel like you've got to prove yourself. Because see, when you feel like you need to prove yourself, you're always going to kind of be on the defense. Mm-hmm. You know what that's like, to be on the defense all the time? Because you're trying to prove yourself. So you're trying to, you know, make everybody think you're this or that, or, you know, that you really are a good person. You know what? Let the Lord take care of that. Let him, you know, elevate you to another level in your leadership position or level in your job. Let him elevate you in your community of friends. Let him do it. We're so busy trying to sell ourselves on, you know, like, hey, you should see me. I do this, this, and that. And yes, there are times when we need to like talk about what we do, of course, because no one will know what we do if someone asks you. Tell them what you do. But, you know, because the ones that let the Lord elevate you and put you in before kings, right? And before people that will help get his vision, his business, his whatever it is that he's called you to do out into the world, man, let him do it. You don't have to do it. You don't have to prove yourself. Well, I'm this, this, and that. No, you don't have to prove yourself of saying, well, I'm holy. I am holy. Like I read my scriptures. I go to church on Sundays. Well, that doesn't make you holy. Do you understand that? The only thing that makes you holy is accepting Christ as your Savior. Yeah. Everybody is so curious about, is this person going to hell? Is that person going to hell? Is this, you know, all these things. If you don't know Christ, you know nothing. You don't know Christ. There's like, oh, bad people are going to go to hell. No, bad people that know Jesus will not go to hell. Good people, that really, really good people that don't know Jesus can go there. That's the worst part of it. They can go to hell because they don't know him. And, you know, that kind of debunks the whole thing. Well, good people or bad people, right? No, there's a lot of wonderful, good people that are still living their life in the eternity of hell. And that's why, that's what the body of Christ is out there trying to help people and say, listen, I know, you know, I sympathize with you. I know what you've gone through, or I don't know, but I sympathize with you. But there is another way out of this situation. There's a Father out there that loves you more than anything. And he loves you so much, and he's been talking to you. You may not have known him, but he knows you. He knows everything about you and loves you regardless of what you've said, done, demonstrated, all of that. He loves you, and he wants you as his child. He wants you in the family. He wants you in the kingdom, you know? And so We are so quick to limit ourselves. We're so quick to disqualify ourselves. Well, now here's the thing. You disqualify your feelings because that's where we've got to let Christ be first. But when I was saying disqualifying yourself for positions in life because you don't think you deserve it. Listen, did Jesus deserve the beating? No. But he took it so that you can be deserving of everything that God has put in your heart to do. You are deserving of it. Just know that I don't care who's told you what. I don't care if it's the person that you love the most and that you respect the most has told you, you know, anything detrimental that was damaging. Now, people might give you some, you know, might try to help you and say, listen, you know, maybe you need to stop doing this or stop doing that. They're giving you, you know, information on maybe how to make your life better. But I'm talking about the ones that told you that you are no good and that you're, you know, a mess and that you're never going to amount to anything. And, you know, you should just kill yourself because God, we don't need you taking a breath here in the earth, in the air. Well, that person is awful. That person is a very evil person because they're trying to take you down to the level which they feel. You don't have to prove yourself to anybody. And listen, just because you're not, you know, this, hey, I, you know, I barely got out of high school, right? And I, you know, used to always put myself off as being, well, I'm not very smart. Like, I'm kind of dumb when it comes to like business and stuff like that. But you know what? I gave God my whole heart and said, okay, I don't know how to do a lot of this stuff. And I mean, even like keeping our books, you know, keeping a budget. I said, and this is about 23 years ago. My husband used to pay all the bills and handle all the business. And I would just let him do it because I was like, well, I'm not really good at this because I, you know, I don't really know how to do it. And I'm not real disciplined myself in that way. Well, things changed. I took that over and I just said, Lord, tell me how to do this. Show me how to do it. And thank God, because we've got an amazing, you know, system in a life that we lead because of all of this. And you guys, I don't, you know, I was literally booted out of high school. Yes, I graduated, but it was like, just get out and never come back. We don't want you back here next year. So we're going to give you a certificate to get out, a diploma, so you can leave. So I'm not talking about an educated person here. So if you think about it, I could have spent my whole life trying to prove myself, which I did a lot of my life, trying to prove myself, trying to make, you know, people think that I was something special, you know. But when I came into the things of God, I realized, man, I'm special because he's special. He's special on the inside of me. So that makes me really special. When you walk into a room that's very intimidating, and we all know what that feels like, right? That could be a room full of executives. That could be a room full of investors. That could be a room full of directors, writers, producers that are going to be, you know, casting that movie or that show. That could be anything. That could be a restaurant, anywhere. And you feel intimidated, I want you to stop yourself and say, no, I refuse to be intimidated by anybody. Jesus is first. I've got everything I need on the inside of me. It's basically, do you not know who I am? That's what that's about. Like, Christ in me is everything. It's the hope of glory. Christ in me is all I need. Right. And because of that, God just put me in touch with so many YouTube channels and podcasts and stuff to learn about, and courses to learn about business and all that stuff, so that I didn't feel like an idiot all the time, that I could understand what I was trying to, at least like I knew where I was, I knew where I wanted to get to, but I had no clue how to get there. Right. Well, Christ in you, because the Holy Spirit knows everything and he's on the inside of you. That's why you don't have to think that you are a loser. Do you understand that? You're not. You're the biggest winner in the world. You are the most amazing, successful person that you know. And you are loved, 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 loved by the Father. You are loved by the Son. You've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You are loved and you're cherished. And gosh, any other words here? But that is who you are. I mean, it is, think about it. How can you lose? You can't. So when we're trying to prove ourselves all the time, we're going to get like literally like kicked, knocked down because we're allowing our emotions to drive how we're allowing the action of other people and even ourselves to drive the emotions in us, which is a big problem. Because when we are acting on emotions only, woo, that's going to be a lot of pain, a lot of darkness, a lot of stuff that you don't need to go into. And we've already probably done it, but let's don't do that anymore. Let's stop. You know, people are going to be people for the rest of your life, right? It really is. They are. So what are you going to do? Be an outcast of society? Not go into society because you can't deal with it? No. You're going to be in society because you are going to be telling people about the greatest choice you ever made, which was to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, and how your life turned around because of it. That's what you're going to do. And then they're going to say, well, I want to hear about that, right? That's how we do it. And especially, you know, it's like, we get so consumed with the situation, the problems that are right. It's like they're right here, right? And we're like going, I'm trying to look outside of this, but I can't because these problems are following me. They're sitting here and they're blinding me. But here's the deal. Who has control over those situations? Okay, I take that back. Who has control over how your thought process of those situations? Who? Raise your hand. Me. Say, I am. I can control how I deal with it. I can control how it affects me. You're not hopeless and you're not helpless. Do you understand that? We are not helpless. A lot can be done through you. A lot can be done in you. So please don't think that of yourself. Every single one of these people that are on here right now, all of you, you've got something so big on the inside of you. You may not have seen it yet, or you might have done something that you thought was the big thing, but I got news for you. Unless you're not breathing anymore, there's a lot left on the inside of you to do. And it doesn't matter if you are laying in a bed, or if you are on crutches, or if you're in a wheelchair, or you're on a respirator, or whatever, you can affect the people around you. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit no matter what is going on. No matter what. You see, this is what's healing. This is the stuff that's healing. I get so, you know, I usually when I talk and stuff, I just have to stand up. But when I'm sitting down, that's why I'm like, I'm moving all the time. because I can't sit still. I get so excited about this stuff. But I know you can't see me if I stand up. But you see, this is what's healing to you. You know, you get a bad report, right? But you've got a better report on the inside of you. You've got the report of the Lord on the inside of you that says that he said in Isaiah, by his stripes you were healed. And that happened on the day that you accepted Christ. And I know you may not understand that, but that's what happened. It was a part of your benefit package. It was a part of the atonement. That's who you are. But we're letting sickness and disease and conditions, whether it's mental, physical, whatever, physiological, whatever it is, we're letting that stop the great thing that lives on the inside of you. Now, if you're just watching for the first time, you're like, man, that girl, boy, she's passionate. Well, you're right. And I want you to know, I'm not mad. I'm just passionate. I really am. And I love you people. And I love the fact that we get together every single week and that we, that I can empower you. And then you guys are empowering me by all your comments. I love it. Right? We got to know that you are special. You're not like everybody else. You might be as beautiful as everybody else. You might be as smart as everybody else. You might have like an intelligent, you know, level that's like genius. But if you have Christ in you, you are that much different. Now, anybody, I'm not saying that there's like a, it's a closed club and everybody can get in. That's not what I'm saying here. Because anybody can say yes to Jesus. Anybody can say, you know what? I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to lord over everything in my body, in my mind, in my job, in my relationships, in my parenting, in my marriage, all of it. I want you to be the Lord over all of it. And the process is this. You've got to give them every single one of those things. It'd be like if I had, you know, 100 pens here. Here, there's my marriage. Here's my relationship with my kids. Up, here's my job. Up, here's my relationship with, you know, whatever, your boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, whatever. Up, here's my situation that I got myself into that, Father, you're going to get me out of, because you will. You'll tell me. You live on the inside of me. Doesn't matter what else. You know, I love this. I have to share this with you. My brother-in-law, his name is Timmy, and he was a heroin addict for 24 or 25 years. And he would, it's my husband's youngest brother. He would, you know, surface once in a while, but I've been married to my husband for 28 years. And so, you know, in the very beginning, we would, you know, Timmy wasn't as bad as he was as it got, you know, as things got really bad. But he detoxed himself, and he told us that there was someone in the room with him. We said, who? And he said, God. Anyway, that was so special. But what I love is this morning, out of the blue, he just called us. Here's a guy whose brain was like probably stuck at 15, right? Because that's when he started with all the heavy drugs, all the heavy medicinal drugs and all that stuff. And he works and doing loans now. You guys, he never had a job. His job was moving snow or putting, you know, like the salt pellets down. He never had a job of like an office job. I'm not saying that doing that kind of stuff, maybe he did landscaping. Those are important jobs. But what I'm saying is that what's so awesome is he is working in mortgage banking. And he called us this morning, and he was just so full of life. It's been 4 years now, and he just loves life, and he loves Jesus. And it just, that's why there is hope for everyone. There is no one exempt from hope of getting yourself, your life together, and changing things, and letting the Holy Spirit literally teach you, guide you, protect you, love you, comfort you, all of those things. That's what he's there for. He is there for all of it. And he's there for you wherever you're at right now. There is not one place that you are. You might be in the most darkest moment of your life right now. But guess what? So was my brother-in-law, Timmy. When he was in that room, and he was detoxing himself off of heroin from 24 years of it. And you know who was in the room with him? He told us God was. So you're telling me that God's not in your room right now, that he's not vocal to you, that he's not in your presence, but you are in his presence? You can't tell me that, because I've heard too many stories, and I know my own life too. So he's there. and detoxing off of heroin like my brother-in-law did, he was calling out to the Lord big time because the demonic force of pulling him back to that drug inducement state that he was in was so strong. The only thing that had power over it, it wasn't my brother-in-law. It was God. It was God. And man, that story just every time, it just is awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. But I love you guys. Who's this? This is Char. What we have, the giants are afraid of, and we are more than conquerors. Yes and amen. We are more than conquerors. Don't you forget that. He causes you to triumph in everything that you do, even if the battle looks like you're losing. You don't lose. You win. All right? Hear me now. Don't go away yet. Even if the battle looks like it's the worst situation and you're losing, you can't see what's happening in the spirit realm with your eyes. Right? Remember he said to Elijah, close your eyes. Right? Look and see what's going on here. Because in the natural, you're looking at something so horrible. But he says, close your eyes because you're going to see in the spirit what is going on and what is happening on your behalf. Man, that is powerful. So I love you guys so much. I will see you next week. And you just keep powering down this road of complete surrender, of complete forgiveness, of complete freedom, because that's how Jesus has, that's why he went to the cross. And that's how he would love to see his kids free at last, right? Free, free, free. Love you guys. And we will see you next week on Healing Journeys Today.
We hope you got some great nuggets of wisdom out of that teaching. Thank you for listening to the Healing Journeys Today podcast. And don't forget, you can find us live on Facebook and YouTube 7 days a week. If you would like to donate, please go to www.healingjourneystoday.com. Isaiah 53:5 says, "And by his stripes, we are healed." God bless you.